Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here. It's just wonderful to be able to gather together and worship with other believers and just reflect on the goodness of God. Who remembers what I talked about the last time I preached?
Love.
On love, okay. Now I'm going to go a little further. Who remembers what Dale preached a couple Sundays before that? He preached on hope a couple Sundays before that. It was actually when I was at home, I had COVID. And I kind of jokingly said to Janice this week, I said, well, he preached on hope and we preached on love. It's like, I guess I'll have to preach on faith this Sunday. But actually, as the week went on and I thought more, and then especially with Howard and the funeral I thought about it, my mind was often just went back to faith this week, and that's actually what I'm going to talk on this morning. So if you want to turn to Hebrews 11, I'm going to read Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, we read about different people of faith and how they lived out their faith, how they showed faith in their life. Hebrews 11, let's start with verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. That first verse, before I go on, as I kept that verse actually just kept popping up in my mind different times this week. I have a New Living Translation, and in the bottom it has a little note there in the bottom, and it says, conviction indicates the biblical faith is not a vague hope grounded in imaginary wishful thinking. Instead, faith is a settled confidence of something in the future. Something that's going to happen. It's a confidence. It's not just a kind of a wish. It's something that is going to happen. Verse 2, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever will draw nigh to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became of heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as an innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessing on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made a mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, but she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. As I was reading that this week, as I was driving, I pulled it up and I was listening to it while I was driving. And I was thinking about, you think about Abraham, you think about Joseph, and then the world we live in, how Abraham, he saw just a little piece of the promise, but he didn't see a lot of the promise as he was expecting descendants as the number of the seashore. And he only saw a little portion of it. And then I went on and talked about Joseph, and he gave him instructions to carry his bones back with him when they exited out of Egypt. He had the promise, and yet he didn't see that promise, and yet he believed in God and what God was going to do and how God was going to take them out of Egypt. This week I was trying to find it here, and I don't know, I lost it, so I might have to just say it the best that I know how. But this week I'd read a story about a preacher, and as he stood in front of the congregation, he got excited as the congregation responded to him, and he was talking to the congregation, and he said, I think I found it here, he said this congregation is like a lame man that needs to get up and walk. And the congregation responded enthusiastically, "Let him walk, preacher, let him walk." And he said, we're like Elijah at Mount Carmel that needs to run. And they said, "Let him run, preacher, let him run." And then he said, "We're going to mount up with wings as eagles and fly." And he said, "Let him fly, preacher, let him fly. And then he goes, "In order to fly," he goes, "we're going to need lots of money." And when he said, "We're going to need lots of money," they said, "Let him walk, preacher, let him walk." But I was just thinking about, you know, in faith chapter, and as we go through life, sometimes we're kind of like that. We want everything right now, but then when it costs us something, all of a sudden we're not so sure that we want it quite that bad. How do we possess this kind of faith? There was a quote that said, "Faith is like a seed planted at the appointed time, and God will give you a mega harvest when you need it." Colossians 2:7 says, "Let your roots grow down into him. Let your life be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Faith that they had, like they had, is a growing process. It doesn't just come just by overnight. Someone said this, How can one come to possess great faith? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Faith must grow by soil, moisture, and exercise. So how do you grow your faith? How do I grow my faith? I'm going to look at six different ways this morning that we're going to go across to increase our faith. The first one, feed your faith through the Word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. To know the will of God, we must read His Word. Psalm 119, 103 to 104 says, "How sweet your words are, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate the false way of life." The Message Bible says it this way, "Your words are so tasty, I prefer them to the best home cooking. Your instructions, I understand life. God's word is alive. It is nourishment to our soul." John 14:26 says, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you." Matthew 10:19 also says, "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you." When I spend time in His Word, and we study His Word, when we come in situations in life, and Aaron asked that question this morning, he said, "Well, how do we present it to others? How do we present the gospel to others?" We spend in time in God's Word, and filling ourselves with His Word. And when we meet that person to talk to, the Spirit will be there. The Spirit will tell us what to say. We'll know what to say. All we have to do is just open our mouth. Reading God's Word allows the Holy Spirit to bring remembrance exactly what we need for the situation we are facing. When we read God's Word, we see His promises to mankind and how He fulfills them over and over again. And James talked about that this morning, and we go back in Scripture, and we read in Scripture, there are so many promises, how God promised to do things, and how God fulfilled them. Number two, exercise your faith. What we do in life is a reflection of what we learn. The knowledge that we receive in life is how we respond in life. This week, Logan, I asked him before I did this because I said I might use this in the sermon. But this week, they had this idea, and we were like, "Hey, this is a good idea." Get them outside; they're doing something. And they climbed way up in this tree and tied a rope onto the tree, and they were using it for a swing, and it was fun. They jump off of a ladder, and they get a good thrill out of it. And well, that was all good until the rope wore through and popped, and he landed on the ground right after he came off the ladder and hurt himself. From now on, I'll guarantee when he thinks of a rope swing on a tree, he'll think about how that rope is tied up there. What happens in life determines on how our knowledge in life determines on how we respond. Same way, I have a truck that left me set, and I'll always think about it. We learn those lessons in life, and we base what we do on the knowledge that we receive. So as we fill ourselves, our minds, with God's Word and His promises, it will affect on how we respond in life to the situations we come across. In exercising our faith, our greatest desire should be for our deeds to reflect His resurrection. To reflect His instruction. Psalm 119:5 says, "Oh, that my actions would constantly reflect your decrees." Faith must be in action, or it will always be inactive. James 2:17-18 says, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds." James 2:22 says, you see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. We will be rewarded for our faith or lack of faith. Proverbs 24:12 says, "Don't excuse yourself by saying, 'Look, we didn't know,' for God understands all hearts and sees you. He guards your soul and knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve." Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed." Revelation 22, "Behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give each one according to the merit of his deeds. Earthly works, faithfulness. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And then Jeremiah says, "But I, the Lord, searched all hearts and examined secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." You're getting paid. The Lord's coming, and it says he's bringing the rewards for how I've served and how I've lived for him. To grow, we must exercise. Number three, free your faith from negativity. The saying goes, feed your faith, starve your doubts. Negativity isn't the Bible, but doubt is. And the doubt's a number of times in the Bible. Bosworth said, faith and doubt cannot live in the same house. James 1:6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." Matthew 21:21, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if I have faith and do not doubt," let me start that and over. "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you will say to the mountain, 'Go throw yourself in the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." How do I get rid of doubt? James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will draw nigh to you." There's a quote, "You can get faith by studying the Word of God. Study the Word until something in you knows that you know and not that you just hope you know." Romans 10:17-18, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Verily, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world." So as we read our Bible over and over again, and we see the promises of God, we notice doubt starts to go, and we start to believe. So in order to grow our faith, get rid of negativity. Number four, believe the impossible is possible. With God, nothing is impossible. When James shared that story this morning, I knew that was in my notes. And I just thought about it. I mean, that's just about blows your mind to think of that kind of temperature. I mean, even, you know, several hundred degrees is pretty bad, but 4,000 degrees coming down in one spot. And if you think back, the children of Israel, when God came down on the mountain, and they all feared because of God coming down the mountain that they were going to lose their life. And yet you take this kind of heat coming down in one area. I don't know, this is something for James to figure out. How far out would that kill somebody? I mean, you know, that kind of heat, how far would it be dangerous until it would be a safe standing zone? And yet, nobody was killed and everything was consumed. With God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Hebrews 11:6, "And it is possible And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he rewards those who seek him." When God does an impossible thing in your life, in my life, my mind went back to the children of Israel, and they took a stone, they'd make what they called a standing stone, and it would be a reminder as they walked by, as they would walk along, the child would say, "Well, what is this about?" And they would reflect the story of what happened there. When the impossible happens, somehow make a reminder that it reminds us often that reminds us of the goodness and how God takes those things that look so impossible in our life and makes them possible. Number five, share your faith with others. 2 Corinthians 4:13 and 15, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised Jesus also, will raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. When your favorite baseball team, football, basketball team scores big, you want to talk about it, right? Or when your child excels and does something good or cool, you like to talk about it. Or we guys, we like to talk about the fuel mileage our trucks get, how good they are. Or the ladies, how well Norwex cleans, maybe. Those are all fine. They're all good. But how much do I brag on God and what God has done and how good God is? Philemon 1:6 says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Philemon obviously bragged on God and what God was doing. 1 Chronicles 16:8-10. Give thanks unto the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Psalm 34, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. How do I thank God? One of the ways of thanking God is doing what he says and by sharing our faith. How often, when we share our faith with others, it actually excites us and fires us up. You notice you go on a mission trip, and when you come back, everybody's excited, everybody's fired up. What does that? A lot of times, it's by us speaking our faith to others. It wasn't so much what I said, but speaking out and sharing God's love with others. As I was studying this, I started thinking a little bit about the power of speaking, and I went on a rabbit trail for about an hour, I think. And if you go look at the Jewish belief on how they like the three, there's like three steps of confession that they have, and one of those is speaking. And anyhow, if you have time this week while you're thinking, think on the power of speaking and the power of what happens when we speak. I'm not going on that bunny trail this morning. But speaking to others about God grows our faith. Number 6, discuss your faith regularly with the manufacturer. Our manufacturer, God, created an instruction manual to survive and thrive in any and every situation. If we don't read it and study it, we don't know how to operate. Have you ever bought an electric toy for your children? And in the manual it says, charge the battery fully before you use it. If you don't, it may be damaged and never work right. And I speak from experience. I didn't read the directions. Some of us don't like manuals. We like to figure it out, and when it doesn't work, then we'll read the manual. But sometimes there's damage done that it'll never be the same. In our Christian life, we've been given a manual. We can't figure it out on our own, but God has given us a manual, and it tells us how to live. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Matthew Barnett said, faith is believing that God is going to take you places before you even get there. Mark Hansen, the author of Chicken Soup, said this, your belief determines your action determines your results, but first you have to believe. Smith Wigglesworth said, I am not moved by what I see, I am not moved by what I feel, I am moved by what I believe. So, as we continue through life, as we walk, ask God to increase our faith. And as we ask him to increase your faith, watch for opportunities. Opportunities will arise to share your faith. It's one of the ways to increase faith. When doubts pop up, read his word. Reflect on the impossible things that God has made possible. Spend time with God, and our faith will be increased. May you all have a good week. Brian, do you have a song?
Faith and Praise,
679. 679, and y'all can stand. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your love to each one of us. God, we thank you for how you have looked out for all through your scripture, your promises that you have given, and you have looked out for your children. And God, you look out for us today. God, we thank you for that. And God, we just pray that you would be with us this week as we go through this week. Pray that you would direct us. God, we pray for a greater faith, and we ask that you would, as we come up with opportunity, as you bring the opportunities to us to share our faith with others, that we would speak out for you. And God, just pray that you would be with each one today. Pray that you would bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen. First and last.